Hello and welcome to The Perfect Formula, brought to you from V2 Sport. This show follows the Canadian Grand Prix, which in all honesty wasn't the most exciting of races, but there's still a bit we can discuss.
Not much, but yeah, we've got some.
We've cobbled together a show. You need to sell the show a little bit better. You can't be saying we're not going to talk about much. What do? Talk about the weather?
Even the weather in Canada was kind of boring. You kind of hoped for an English Grand Prix before the rain.
Sebastian Vettel won the race. It was a pretty straightforward win for him, I suppose. Qualified on pole with a decent lap, and then a relatively untroubled race. I suppose, you know, it wasn't the most difficult race he's ever had to do, but he did everything right. Can't really fault him, I suppose.
No. I mean, it would have been difficult for him to be challenged. I mean, it looked like Bottas wasn't really pulling his weight. I don't know whether he had... I wonder if he's had an engine change recently, because we understand Hamilton hasn't had an engine change at all this season.
Because Mercedes brought the upgrade with them and
decided not to use it.
So I would assume...
So you could argue that the lack of pace from the Mercedes was due to the fact that they were running on old engines. Because they definitely had less pace than they usually show. The fact they were able to keep up with Ferrari to a certain extent and still beat the Red Bulls says a lot, though, about the Mercedes engine.
Well, Hamilton didn't beat the Red Bulls.
Well, no, but his engine seemed to have problems, and it seemed even when the problem was supposedly fixed, he was still trying to eke more out of the engine that there was there. So it would suggest that maybe those engine problems weren't never fixed. They were... minimised, but they weren't fixed.
To be honest, it all sort of came down to the qualifying performance. You know, the top six, apart from Hamilton, I think losing out a position, you know, all the top drivers sort of finished as they started most of the others throughout the field. I think the only sort of... There was only two things, really. Firstly, Verstappen at the start. He had a much improved performance, I thought, this weekend. Qualified third. And at the start, I thought it drove very well. And he almost snatched that second place off Bottas. And had he managed to make that overtake stick, which he nearly did, you know, it would have been one of the bits... It would have given us a little bit of excitement anyway.
The thing is Verstappen and Ricciardo, actually, talking about the Red Bulls, neither of them really had any speed until the end. I mean, if you look at the time gaps for the majority of the race, they were significantly behind Bottas and Vettel. And Hamilton was right up behind Ricciardo's back end for the majority of the race. He just couldn't get around him.
But that's not the driver's fault.
No.
That's the
engine.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, his engine wasn't up to spec, and maybe they should have taken a risk with the upgrade. Maybe they should have put in those new engines with the upgrade and said, well, if it breaks, it breaks, but at least we've got a fighting chance.
Had that failed, would you not be slating them for wasting 15 potential points, you know, 15 points for them?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think at the end of the day, though, it did look like it just wasn't working. And they must have noticed that in the qualifying, that engine wasn't coping with what it was meant to be doing. It wasn't competitive to the Ferraris, not really.
Yeah.
Especially not Hamilton's engine. Hamilton's engine seemed like it was suffering more than Bottas's, probably because he's more of an aggressive driver than Bottas is, and therefore the engine lasted a bit longer for Bottas. But, you know, I would say they should have tried to pull out that engine.
The other sort of major thing were Raikkonen. He could have overtook Hamilton at least, and with Ferrari pitting him later. A bit of a disappointing race for him, and also once again it comes to the last lap of Q3, and he could have got a much better qualifying position, but he screwed it up right at the death. So again, it's another disappointment for Raikkonen. He started the season strongly, but his form is falling off a cliff. And
is that a sign of age, though? He's getting older. His reactions are slower. It's an irrefutable aspect of life that you, as you get older, your reactions get slower. Maybe it is that his reactions just aren't quick enough. now to react.
But it's also irrefutable that if Raikkonen doesn't improve, then Charles Leclerc, I'll come on to him in a sec, but, you know, he's not going to be in a Ferrari next year.
Well, yeah, no, Charles Leclerc is fighting with Alonso quite happily, and, you know, Alonso is in a different class altogether. If his engine was any good, he'd have a good chance of still getting on the podium.
Regarding Vettel, Hamilton, you sort of just mentioned them a bit. There now, there's only a point separating them. Vettel ahead by a point, so effectively it's, you know, equal so far this season. I argued in the last show that I think Vettel's been a bit unlucky over the course of this season not to be further ahead. But in any case, they're level. How do you see the rest of this?
I would say Hamilton was unlucky in this race. He had the odds stacked against him most of the time, to be perfectly honest. I mean, he got stuck behind Ricciardo. There was no way past Ricciardo for him with that engine. But if he'd got past Ricciardo, he would have gone on, he would have been able to go a lot faster. He showed the ability to go a lot faster whenever he pulled away from Ricciardo.
But he qualified slower than his teammate. Bottas got a solid second place. Bottas did a good job.
But
Bottas,
it sounds like he had a bad day on the job.
Bottas has finished, I think, second on five occasions now this season, and, you know, has beaten Hamilton. It's not like Hamilton's been dominating his teammate, and, you know, which he's tried to
in terms of points, he is. I mean,
he's about 20-ish ahead, 30 points
he's
ahead.
He's more than that.
Yeah.
You know, you can't say, oh, Hamilton isn't dominating his teammate when he's got significantly more points than him.
Okay.
I mean, even 20 points difference is a lot of difference.
Okay, you're right. He is beating him by more points, and I realised he's 34 ahead of Bottas. He's on 120 to Bottas' 86.
Yeah.
So
you can't say that he's not outperforming his teammate.
Okay.
He is. If you look at the statistical data, he is outperforming his teammate.
He is on points, but there have been occasions, there's been days where Bottas has outdriven... There was Bottas, he lost 25 points when he should have won the race when he had that very unlucky puncture. That's 25. Well, that's your 30 points there, because Hamilton inherited a win.
You could say, though, that Hamilton has also had incredibly unlucky races where he should have been the winner and therefore should have got the additional points himself. So you can't argue that at the end of the day. I mean, Hamilton evidently didn't have a good day in qualifying. It happens. Bottas has had some shockingly bad days. So I wouldn't say it's to do with, you know, he's a lesser driver or that, you know, he's lesser deserving. I think he deserves the points he's got. And he has had unlucky races. Vettel's had unlucky races. Ricciardo's had unlucky races. And Bottas has had unlucky races. And Raikkonen has had more unlucky races than everyone else.
I don't think Raikkonen's through being unlucky. I think it's not being good enough. For me, Bottas, yes, he did have two, I think the first two races he made mistakes. The qualifying, I recall, and yeah. So he had a poor start, but I think on current form, I think he's outperformed Hamilton for me. Yes, the points don't completely reflect that, but, you know, I think Bottas has had better days.
You've also got to think of the fact that, bearing in mind this, you know, the Canadian Grand Prix, Hamilton evidently, his engine wasn't up to scratch on qualifying because he didn't have the same straight line speed as Bottas did. That's nothing to do with the driver, that's to do with the engine. And it showed in his race as well that his engine was not up to scratch. Mm-hmm. So you can't say, oh, Bottas did better than him in the Canadian Grand Prix, therefore he's a better driver. Because at the end of the day, they weren't competing with the same engine.
No.
And the engine is so important. I think Hamilton is the better driver. He's a lot more aggressive. He has more fight in him than Bottas does. And at the end of the day, he's more likely to take the necessary risks.
I'm not arguing that Hamilton is a more talented driver, he's a better driver overall than Bottas. The only thing I'm perhaps making a case for is this season. I think Bottas has been a bit unfortunate, and I don't think Hamilton's worth 36 more points this season than Bottas, I think. I think Bottas is just as good. All right, here's a question. On basically the same points, 1 point difference between the two leaders. If I were to give you a tenner now and say you have to bet on Hamilton or Vettel to win the title, which one do you put your money on?
I just want to throw a spanner in the works and say Verstappen, just for...
But that doesn't...
Giggles.
Okay. Well, maybe, because he did perform better this weekend, and he said that this was the first time he turned up to a race alone, not with his family or anyone else. Yeah. He turned up alone, and Christian Horner said he thought that it benefited the driver, and so maybe he needs to do that for the rest of the season, and he'll win the World Championship.
But you never know, stranger things have happened. I don't think Ricciardo really stands a chance. He's good, but he's not as good. He did well in Monaco, but I don't think he's got it in him to win the championship. Okay. I think Verstappen has. Whether his risky behaviour means he's just going to crash out or not, that depends. But if I was going between the two of them, Vettel and Hamilton, I would say Hamilton.
Okay.
I think once he's got the new engine in, once they've got that sorted, at the end of the day, I think the Mercedes is still the faster car.
Okay, well, I'll bet you a tenner that Vettel gets more points than Hamilton this season than it looks like. Vettel for me, I think is more likely to win the championship. I think it's between the two of them. I don't see Verstappen or Bottas or Ricciardo or anyone else or Raikkonen winning the championship.
Certainly not Raikkonen.
Raikkonen's
got about as much chance as Alonso, so.
Yeah, Fernando Alonso winning the championship would be something. But yeah, in any case, Winnie Harlow, who's a model who was the flag waver at the Grand Prix, waved the flag a lap early. Unfortunately, Vettel wasn't very happy about it.
None of the drivers were happy about it.
Well, one driver especially unhappy was Danny Ricciardo. He achieved the fastest lap of the race in the final lap. That didn't count because if the flag's waved, you go back, and it was after 68 laps the race was ended. Mm. Ricciardo's fastest lap didn't count.
Mistakes happen. Surely there should have been someone next to her telling her when to wave it.
Oh, no, they did. There was someone told her to. It wasn't her fault.
Yeah. So, you know, mistakes happen. I understand Vettel was quite irate about it. Something along the lines of, why don't they wave the flag when it's actually ended?
To be fair, though, if you're in the car in that situation, you'd probably say something a bit snarky, like, you've got 100% focus. You would be a bit snarky about it if you're, you know, because you're thinking, do you slow down? Have I miscounted? Do you slow down and then get overtaken by, you just don't know.
You can see the problem. And obviously there's, you know, essentially they cut off two laps, and in two laps you can overtake someone.
Well,
and
fortunately nobody did, because there wasn't much overtake.
But people were building up towards it. They were trying to. Whether they would have been able to manage it or not is a different matter, but people were building up towards doing overtakes. And, yeah, it's got to be annoying for a driver.
I believe it happened, I think it was the Chinese Grand Prix 2014, the similar thing happened, the checkered flag was waved a lap early, and they had to go back. Anyway, looking outside the top six, the big three teams really, a few other drivers that caught the eye, we mentioned Leclerc in passing, he got yet another points finish, finishing 10th, I should say, he didn't finish second, that would have been some result. Including a good battle with Alonso, and overall he's really impressing in that Sauber, outperforming his teammate Marcus Ericsson. Ericsson was outperforming at the start, but now he's sort of come back. He's got 3-4 points finishes in the last few races. Solid 10th place, can't fault him, and he's doing a very good job.
Thing is, Sauber, they look promising. Both the drivers look promising, Sauber do. I mean, they've evidently got the ability. It's just a shame that they're in the lower team, really. I mean, I can't see Ericsson doing as well as Leclerc, but I think he could do well in a faster car. I would say, though, I probably think Magnussen would do better than Ericsson. So you know, that's two people from two different low teams that could possibly find their way up in the next few seasons, because it does look like some drivers are going to be on the out, such as Raikkonen.
Yeah. I should mention Magnussen's teammate Romain Grosjean. Engine blew up in qualifying in the pit lane. Quite a smoky pit lane after that. But from starting from the back, he was the biggest mover in the race. He went from last up to 12th. Which I think it says it all about this particular year in the Canadian Grand Prix. It's been very exciting in the past. But the fact he got from 20th to 12th, normally that wouldn't be something you'd really look at.
Yeah.
But in this particular race, I thought he did a very good job and extracted the maximum he could.
It was a bit of an odd race in the fact that you had two drivers right at the very end, very close together. Then you had like a pack of five drivers and then another pack and another pack. And it made it quite interesting for when the faster drivers were lapping the other ones, because they were going through massive chunks of traffic, because it was a lot less spread out than it usually is. They were in packs rather than anything else. That made it a bit more interesting. But yeah, no, there doesn't seem to be much overtaking this season.
Yeah, well, we'll come on to the overtaking at the end. I just want to mention the other races as well that didn't finish. Brendan Hartley and Lance Stroll had that incident in the first lap. Neither of them finished. Quite a spectacle. Anyone to blame in your view?
I think Stroll went in too fast and lost control, and he crushed Hartley into the side of the barrier. I mean, he would have seen from the angle he was in with his mirrors where Hartley was. He would have known Hartley was alongside him, and yet he lost complete control, and because he didn't give Hartley enough space, he went right into the side of him, and it could have caused him serious damage. I don't see Hartley having any error in this.
I thought he was very brave, foolish, whatever you want to call it. It was quite a bold move he was making around the outside. For me, it was just an unlucky racing incident for me. No penalties, anything like that necessary in my view. It's just one of them things. I think it's a bit of a shame for Lance Stroll in particular, after he sort of turned his season around last year in Canada. He got his first points there. But yeah, I think it's just a racing incident for me.
It's more the fact that it does seem that Stroll either didn't notice or didn't care about the fact that he had a car up his inside, outside of his car, and he took too much of a risk around that corner. That's why he had oversteer, and that's why he lost control.
Okay, fair enough.
Even if he hadn't had another car there, he would have gone into the side of that barrier and been out himself anyway.
Mm-hmm.
With the amount of oversteer he had.
And the other non-finisher was Fernando Alonso, another engine failure. He managed to bring the car around to the pits this time, but I'm sure he's very frustrated.
Yeah, it did seem like they had an engine that wasn't going to break down this season, and it's just not working, which is odd. There's other teams that are using that same engine, and whilst there was problems a few races ago, they don't seem to have any recurring problems with the engine. It just seems like Alonso is somewhat cursed with the McLaren team.
Yeah. Their young driver Lando Norris, who's tipped to become a future F1 world champion, he's a very highly rated British driver. If Alonso leaves, they've got some capable hands there, and I'm sure he'll be hoping that happens.
Well, they'll be hoping for an English driver anyway. I mean, they've always tried to root their support in England, and with things like Santander and everything, having the English driver to do the adverts for that.
A Spanish company.
Well, no, but Santander is very popular in England. And its adverts in England are based around English sports people, generally. I mean, you've got Jessica Ennis-Hill, and you had Button in it, and I think he's...
Rory McIlroy,
right? Well, okay, yeah, the one person I didn't know. yeah, but they like showing, oh, look, British people, British sporting people. And so the ability to have another F1 driver on there who drives for McLaren, who is an English team, would be good for them.
Well, the talk was Toro Rosso put in a bid for Lando Norris, a long-term deal to sign him up to them, and they were going to get rid of Brendan Hartley. McLaren have turned that down. So, yeah, but it'll be hard if Alonso, it's going to be very hard for McLaren if he doesn't get a drive for them next season, it's going to be very hard for McLaren to keep hold of him.
Yeah, I mean, Van der Doorn as well is not doing great, to be perfectly honest. Alonso is doing better than him when his engine isn't breaking down. So you could almost argue that maybe they'll get rid of him and replace him with the new upcoming English driver and try and get the advertising, the money from the sponsorship from that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not going to harm them to do so. Van der Doorn isn't very popular. You don't see him having all that much support, whereas if you get another English driver out there, you know, most people get a bit annoyed by Hamilton, so the English will want someone else to back.
I don't know anyone that gets annoyed by Hamilton who dislikes him. We touched on it earlier in the show, overtaking. There's been two races. Canadian Grand Prix in the past has historically been a very good race. I was expecting a fantastic race. Yeah. I was very disappointed. Monaco.
Three DRS zones as well. Do you expect overtaking? And it just didn't get it.
This is the thing, is it something we should be concerned about, or is it a bit early to be saying that because we had all them great races earlier in the season and, you know, it's two races. Mm.
It could just be that the drivers are tired and they need a holiday. You know, not bothering to overtake. But no, two races in a row with not really any overtaking, with them being pretty, you know, boring, really. I mean, at the end of the day, it is tedious just to watch cars going around in a circle. There's a reason why they have DRS zones and everything to try and encourage overtaking. That's what makes the sport interesting.
Well, there's another debate about DRS. I know that a lot of purists don't even like that. They're going on a bit of a tangent here, but that's argued as being an artificial overtaking, and it should be more natural, a purer sport, if you like. With because I think one of the things DRS has killed is that, you know, long 6-7 lap battles where someone's trying to get past, whereas on occasions with DRS you get very easy overtakes and it's just impossible for some cars to defend.
I think the speed they can get with the DRS overtake is impressive, and that adds a level of excitement to it as well. I mean, yes, those fast overtakes, they can be a bit like, oh, so-and-so has overtaken so-and-so, but they can also be like, oh wow, how do they do that? To be perfectly honest with you, you know, you see them going into these corners at such speed and managing to overtake another car at the same time as keeping their line, and that's impressive. Mm-hmm. I think that's the reason why DRS is there. Mm-hmm. It adds a level of excitement.
Okay. Also, just to finish, I just want to mention the results of our poll from the last show. We asked you what you thought of the Monaco Grand Prix, whether we should keep it or not. Two-thirds of you thought I was right, that it's a historic race and we should keep it. And one-third said they don't like it, and, you know, which I can understand, you know, the lack of overtaking and all. But there you go. There's your Twitter poll. It's official.
We'll see what people say in a few seasons' time.
Yeah.
See if they agree with me or not.
All right. Anything else you want to mention on it?
Just we understand that there's going to be changes to the cars next season, and I'm hoping that they're going to make it easier for overtaking. They're going to make it so that the cars are less wide. I mean, if the cars are less wide anyway, it should mean that Monaco is more interesting anyway. Mm-hmm. Part of the problem with Monaco is that the track isn't wide enough for those cars.
Monaco will never be a race with lots of overtakes. Monaco will always be a race that relies on safety car incidents in order to
It'll be a bit easier for cars to overtake if they're a bit smaller.
In almost any era of F1, the only place really you're overtaking is out the tunnel. There's not really any other, you know, very occasionally you see crazy first corner overtake, you know, at turn one.
Yeah.
But Monaco will never be a race where there's whizzing.
Yeah, there's a difference between few overtakes and practically no overtakes.
Of course there is.
Which is what Monaco was this year.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Anyway, we'll be back after the French Grand Prix, where hopefully we'll be talking about a very exciting race with loads of crashes and, you know, a shock winner maybe.
Shouldn't be crashes to make it interesting.
All right, lots of overtakes and all, DRS overtakes especially. Three races coming up in the space of 3 weeks, so there'll be plenty of podcasts to keep you entertained.
If you want to see cars crashing, you might as well just watch Fast and Furious.
That would have been a great start for the Monaco Grand Prix podcast. Too late now. Thank you for listening to our review of the Canadian Grand Prix. Apologies, it wasn't the longest of shows. It's not our fault the race was so boring. if you want to hear more from us, you can follow us on Twitter at The Perfect F1 or at V2 Sport Network. Also check out our football and wrestling podcasts if you're that way inclined. Thanks for listening and good night.
Thanks, bye.